absolute a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Clap your two hands together for Jesus. Shall we be seated shortly? Father, we thank you for this awesome presence in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Today is what day? Day what? 20. Hey, Pastor, because they're 20. Some people will fight with you. 20 then. The way a lot of us are tired. 20 then. Hey. Oh, you are not fasting. You are not praying. There are people who are already in 41. They have crossed. We break cross. Hallelujah. God will help us. Amen. God will look upon our affliction of our body, trying to afflict our body in fasting and prayer, and he will help us. Amen. Clap your two hands if you understand that. So yesterday, I was speaking to you about something very powerful. How many of you were blessed yesterday? Very powerful, which we are going to conclude today as we enter into certain prophetic prayers with the direction of the honey, as the Lord has led us. And I want you to believe that after we pray and we apply this honey by the Spirit of God, every blessing that must show forth will show forth for us finally in Jesus' name. Oh, let your amen be a witness to what I'm saying. Amen. So yesterday we said that if God is helping a man, there are ways that God does so. David says, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Whence cometh my help? And he says, my help cometh from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Amen. And then we explain that there are ways that God's help is manifested in our lives. When God is helping a man, there are ways. And the first one that we looked at is divine empowerment. That God empowers you like Samson, like David, like Jesus, so that you are able to accomplish things that are bigger than you. Then we also said by divine wisdom and understanding. And when God wants to help a man, He doesn't give you might, strength like something, but he gives you wisdom that you are able to solve the most complicated issues of life that brings you into the limelight. Problem, you see, money goes in exchange for solution. When you solve a problem at work, you are paid for it. Nobody gets money for free. Whatever you do at your work is a service you are rendering. You are either solving somebody's ignorant problem or you are solving somebody's appetite problem, so you are selling food. So the person gives you money in exchange. So money goes in exchange for work or for solution rendered. So wisdom is so vital. That's what the Bible says, that wisdom shall be the stability of their time. That in our day, it is those who are able to solve problems who excel. Amen. Number three, divine guidance and direction. That when God is helping a man, there are times that he doesn't necessarily give you might or something, but he gives you direction. He gives you guidance. He tells you, go here, go there, do this, do that. He directs your path. And once he directs your path, you are able to chalk success. We saw that in the life of David, how God directed him in battle. We also saw that in the life of Elijah, how God preserved his life through direction, guidance. Go to the river and I'll send ravens to bring you food. And Elijah did not die. Go to the next city in Zarephath. There is a widow there. I will feed you through that widow. So God directed Elijah and that kept him in the midst of famine. Number four, divine intervention. That is where God doesn't necessarily give you wisdom. God doesn't necessarily give you direction. God doesn't necessarily give you might. He comes on his own. He comes to do his own thing. God comes to fight his own battle. He invaded the prison of Paul and Silas. He visited the prison of Paul and Silas. That's what we call intervention. He came in and put the five heads of the Amorites by doing what? By raining fire, raining stones on them, and killed five kings of the Amorites that had joined forces to destroy Joshua and the children of Israel. He did that by stopping the sun and stopping the moon. It's awesome. When God is intervening, he suspends protocols. He suspends protocols, requirements. Oh, you are supposed to do this. You are supposed to get here. You are supposed to have studied this program. You are supposed to have done this and done that. When God wants to help you, he suspends. That's where you go for an interview. They said, "Oh, we are looking for somebody who studied this particular area of the program, and it seems like yours didn't get here, so we cannot employ you." But when God intervenes, they will employ you and they will give you months and years to train in that area you don't have the qualification for. That is what we call intervention. Someone has testified that here in this church before, and I pray that you also have that testimony. So interventions are real. Where God came in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and when the children of Israel were going to fight the Philistines, God tended with a loud tender. Some of you, when you are in your room and it's raining and then there's tender, you see how you run under the nearest bed. Just try to run because the sound is... I'm talking about much more of that tender, not the normal tender, the one that you run from your room and you are looking for somewhere to hide. You know that there are tender storms like strikes like that. They are very loud, that you think Jesus has come and you start remembering all the sins you have committed and start confessing. Amen. And then finally we say, by divine preservation, God can preserve your life. When God is helping you, he preserves your life. So tonight, number six, manifestation of the help of God. When God wants to help you, what does God do for you? He gives you divine mercy. He gives you divine mercy. Everybody say mercy. The mercy of God. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is a compassionate treatment. A compassionate treatment that doesn't make you get the evil you deserve. Where God treats you with compassion, he first have to have mercy on you. Like I told you last week, that God doesn't help you just because you need help. You need help. God doesn't just help you because you are not the only person who needs what you are looking for. God helps you because he has decided to have mercy on you. It's like somewhere, somehow, his mercy has fallen on you. So he says, okay, out of the many poor people, I'll make you rich. Out of the many stranded people, I'll help you. Out of the many jobless people, I'll give you a job. Out of the many single people, I'll give you marriage. Not necessarily because you qualify for it or because you are too mobile. No. He just decided to have mercy on you. So I pray that may God have mercy on somebody here. I said, may God have mercy on somebody here. So when we say somebody has mercy, what we mean is that the person is benefiting from a compassionate treatment that makes sure that the person doesn't get the evil he deserves. The evil that you deserve, the consequences of your actions. When God comes in and God wants to help you, he gives you mercy. Like David, God wanted to help him. God says, you have done a very bad thing. But God says, but I'll have mercy upon you. When Saul did evil, the sins of Saul are lesser than the sins of David. But God destroyed Saul and God preserved David. Why? Because God did not show mercy to Saul, but God showed mercy upon David. Clap your two hands for the Lord. May God show you mercy. Oh, are you here? May God show you mercy. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the Bible says that let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That means that if you don't have mercy, if you feel like, Charlie, things are too hard for you, it looks like God is not having mercy on you, it looks like you are crying to God and things are not changing, then I want you to understand that if you think you are deficient of mercy, you can receive mercy. The Bible says that come to the throne room of grace, come to the altar of God, and you will obtain mercy. Anybody here under the sound of my voice that feels like you lack mercy, there are things happening in your life, looks like God is not really helping you and having mercy on you, I pray that may you obtain mercy tonight. Let your amen be like thunder. May you obtain mercy tonight. May you find mercy tonight. Shout, I am obtaining mercy tonight. It says, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That means that for you to have help, you need first and foremost mercy. Mercy is a requirement to have help in time of need. If there is somebody here who thinks you need the help of God, then the first thing that you need is mercy. And tonight you will cry to the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. So when God wants to help a man, he first shows him mercy. Before grace, he shows you mercy. He first shows you will not have grace if God hasn't first shown you mercy. Luke chapter 18, 38 to 41. Remember Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. He cried out when he heard that Jesus was passing by, the blind man. He said, I cannot see, but I have mouth. He cried out and he shouted, oh Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Son of David, they tried to quiet him. They said, listen, you are shouting too much. You are praying too much. Are you the only person who needs help from God? Are you the only person who needs help? And the Bible says that even when they tried to stop him, yet the more he kept shouting. So Charlie, don't let anybody stop you from praying, from looking out for help. If you can continue to cry on God, if you can continue to shout on God and cry on God, one of these days you are the one to benefit from mercy. I said, you are the one to benefit from mercy. Hallelujah. And it says something. It says, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Why did he say, son of David, have mercy? Why did he say, oh, just Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Because he was reminding Jesus that you are sitting on the throne of David. And the throne of David is established in mercy. The Bible says that my mercy will I not take away from David just as I took away from Saul. So the man was reminding Jesus that you are sitting on a throne, not a throne of judgment or a throne of justice, but you are sitting on a throne of mercy. The Bible says that for the sure I will make a covenant with them according to the sure mercies of David. So there is something the Bible called the sure mercies. That means that the unfailing mercies of David. So David was a man that enjoyed the mercy of God. So if only you are a product of David and you are sitting on the throne of David, then you will not lack mercy. And so show me mercy. That was the prayer of the man. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Somebody shout and say, show me mercy. Thou son of David, say, show me mercy, for you do not lack mercy. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Psalm 102 verse 13. It said, you arise and you have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. The time to help Zion has come. But for Zion to be helped by God, for Zion to see the help of God, the Zion needs to first and foremost receive mercy. He said, for thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion, for our time of marriage has come, our time of employment has come, our time of deliverance has come, our time of lifting has come, our time of prosperity have come, our time to change territories have come, our time of enlargement have come. I speak over 50 people here. Your time of lifting has arrived. Your time of deliverance has arrived. And the Lord will show you mercy. Shout, have mercy, Lord. Oh, say, have mercy, Lord. All the miracles of Jesus were born out of two things. Either faith by the people or mercy from Jesus. These two things. All the miracles of Jesus. Go and read from Matthew all the way to John. You will see that all the miracles of Jesus is either certain people provoked it by their faith, or he just had to show compassionate treatment. He just had to have mercy on the people. That is why the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says that the verse number 37, that and when he went about 39, when he went about, he looked on the people and he had compassion for them, for they are like sheep without any shepherd. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your two hands for the Lord. They were like a sheep without shepherd. Every help that Jesus ever helped man, it happened by mercy. The Bible says that, and he had compassion on them and healed all their diseases. He had mercy on them and healed all their diseases. When he shows you mercy, he will heal all your diseases. When he shows you mercy, he will heal all your diseases. In Matthew 14 verse 14, he had compassion on them and he healed all their diseases. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. God saved Epaphroditus. There was a man in the Philippian church called Epaphroditus who was almost dying, but God rescued him from death by mercy. According to Philippians chapter 2 verse 27, Paul said, for indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. Anybody that is connected to you, that is so dear to you, that is sick unto death, may the mercy of God be directed towards them. You are not here with me tonight. I shall may the mercy of God be directed towards them. I shall may the mercy of God be directed towards them. I shall may the mercy of God be directed towards them. If you are also sick in any part of your body that you seem to be dying gradually, the mercy of God will save you. I shall the mercy of God will save you. Joseph was a man also helped by God. How? By mercy. Joseph was held by mercy. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 39, I suppose. It's not here in my notes. Genesis chapter 39, the verse number 21, Bible says that, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. May God be with you and show you mercy. So listen, all the things you read about God doing for Joseph was because God showed him mercy. For God showed him mercy and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Somebody here, you are looking at the story of Saul, of Joseph, and you are saying that, God, how you help Joseph, please help me. What you are actually looking for is mercy. What you are actually praying for is mercy. Put your hand on your head and say, Father, have mercy upon me like you had mercy on Joseph. Clap your two hands together if you believe that. If you believe that, 2 Samuel 7 verse 15, 2 Samuel 7 15, it said, but my mercy shall not depart from David as I took it from Saul, whom I kicked out from office, from the throne. So God kept David by mercy. God established David by mercy. Isaiah 55 verse 3, he said, incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the sure mercies of David. That is why David was not destroyed, because there was a God helping him through mercy. There was a God helping him through mercy. May the God of rescue help you this season through mercy. You have been through a lot. You have suffered many afflictions. You have suffered many disappointments. You have suffered many bitter experiences. Tonight is your time of favor, and the Lord will have mercy upon you. It's your time of help, and the Lord will have mercy upon you. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Number 7, when God is helping a man, one of the manifestations of his help is divine grace or favor. That God shows you grace or favor. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the same scripture said, come now therefore boldly to the throne room of grace, that you obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So grace is also something that God gives a man. After you get mercy, he gives you grace in order for you to be helped. The Bible tells us in that scripture that when mercy is released, that grace follows. Grace and mercy are like twins. When you find mercy, grace will be given to you. When you find mercy, grace will be given to you. When you find mercy, grace will be given to you. May somebody be connected to grace. Grace or favor. What is grace or favor? It is also a compassionate treatment that makes you get what you don't deserve. It makes you get the good you don't deserve. Mercy makes you not get the evil that you deserve. And grace makes you get the good that you don't deserve, that you don't qualify for, that you don't deserve, that you don't have what it takes to get. That is what grace and favor gives you. It makes you receive a preferential treatment. Everybody say preferential treatment. That means that people prefer you. People choose you. Among many people, you are selected. Among many people, you are chosen. When they want to do somebody good, they seem to select you. When they want to help somebody, they seem to select you. When they want to give something good to someone, it seems to select you. I pray for 50 people here that you will be connected to the grace of God. That you will have preferential treatment. That you will be chosen among many. That you will be selected for good things. Shout, I am the one. Oh, shout, I am the one. It qualifies you for what you don't deserve. It gives you what you don't qualify for. You don't have the certificate. You don't have the experience. You don't have the beauty. You don't have the intellectual capacity. You don't have the eloquence. You don't have the appearance. You don't have the money. You don't have the protocol. You don't have something they are looking for. But when God decides to help you, what God does for you is that He gives you what you don't deserve. What you don't deserve is coming to you. You are not here. What you don't deserve is coming upon you. What you don't qualify for is being given to you. It may be a husband. It may be a job. It may be a visa. It may be an opportunity. It may be a promotion. Receive what you don't deserve. When we say somebody is enjoying grace or favor, it means that the person is able to achieve great things with little effort. Grace and favor makes you achieve great things with little effort. According to the story of Zerubbabel, he said, this mountain, oh Zerubbabel, shall become like flat. This trouble shall disappear before you. And then he shows us how it will happen. He said, it shall happen with shoutings, grace, grace, grace. In other words, when the mountain is going down, you shall hear in the corridors of power and in the places of the spirit that angels are shouting grace, that God is shouting grace, that people are shouting grace. That means that Zerubbabel, the mountain will go down, it will be swallowed by grace. I pray for somebody here that is being challenged by a mountain, being challenged by a problem, being challenged by a situation, being challenged by an affliction, that we shout grace tonight. And the more we shout grace, your problem is disappearing. Everybody shout grace. The louder you shout it, the quicker your problem disappears. Shout grace. Shout grace. Shout grace. Shout grace. Shout grace. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Is that with shouts of grace, grace unto it. That's how the mountain before Zerubbabel will be swallowed up. Somebody's mountain is being swallowed up.
We hail, we worship you, we hail Mosa.
Where you are sitting, you are speaking in tongues. Because whatever I'm talking about is falling on you in the realm of the spirit. So when God wants to help a man to achieve the impossible, then He gives him grace. May God give you grace. You are not here, I said, may God give you grace. This marital situation that looks so impossible, may God give you grace. This financial, this debt that is staring at you, that is staring at you, you don't know how the debt will disappear. May God give you grace. I said, may God give you grace. this situation of a project that is staring at you and there is no money to finance it, may God give you grace. One thing that I pray for every day is the grace of God. Because when I look at the assignment on my head, it cannot happen by power. It cannot happen by my might. It will happen by grace. Shout grace! Clap your two hands for that. Esther was held by God by grace. Esther was held by God as a slave girl. She was held by God to become a queen on a foreign land through grace and favor. Esther chapter 2, 15 and 17. The Bible says that, but Esther found grace in the sight of all. And the Bible says, and Esther found favor in the sight of the king. And the king made her the queen instead of Vashti, in the position of Vashti. I pray that God will favor you and will make you something you must become. I said, God will favor you and make you the queen you must become. And make you the king you must become. And make you sit on your destiny seat. And make you occupy your destiny place. And make you occupy your destiny throne. If you are here, shout, I am the one. Say, I occupy my destiny space by favor. Say, I occupy my destiny space. Say, I sit upon my destiny throne by the favor of God. Say, nobody will take my place. Say, nobody will occupy my space. Say, nobody will sit on my chair. I occupy my space. I sit on my throne. I wear my crown of glory by the grace of God. Shout grace! Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Joseph was also a slave boy who was helped by God to become successful in Egypt through favor or grace. Genesis 39, the verse number 4, the Bible says, so Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him, and he made him in charge of everything in his house. Joseph found favor. He could have been bought by a poor man. He could have been bought by a nobody. But as he was standing at the slave market, and Potiphar came, Potiphar's eye fell on him, and he found favor in the eyes of Potiphar. Listen to me. The people that has the power to change your life, after their eyes set on you, they will begin to like you. You didn't hear what I'm telling you. Some of you are at the marriage market. Some of you are at the job market. Some of you are at the financial market. I pray that when the eyes of your suitor falls on you, you will find favor. When the eyes of your employer sets on you, you will find favor. When the eyes of your helper falls on you, you will find favor. Shout the favor of God. Say the favor of God is working for me. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Even when he found himself in prison, the favor was still working. Even in the prison, he became the capito. He became the prefect. The favor was still working. That means that if not that God needed him to meet certain people in prison, he wouldn't have gone to prison. So when he went to prison, he didn't deny the fact that he was still operating by favor. Because right in the prison, the favor was still speaking. They handed over the prison to him, just as they handed the palace to him. I pray that no matter the situation you find yourself, if you must go through it, you will go through. But as you are going through it, the favor of Yeshua will speak for you. As you are going through it, you shall not be alone. The favor of the Lord will speak on your behalf. Shout favor. Oh, come on, shout favor. The more you shout it, the more it is released into your life. The Bible says that the mountains are swallowed by the shouts of word grace. Grace. That means when you shout it, it releases upon you. The next help, manifestation of help that God gives a man when he wants to help him, is divine multiplication. When God wants to help a man, he multiplies his steps. He multiplies his efforts. He does something small and yet he gets big profits. He puts in little effort yet his efforts are amplified. Oma
Your efforts are small, but your output is always small. Because in the spirit, he's multiplying whatever you are doing. That is why David threw one stone. Small stone. David threw small stone. When he threw the stone, some way, somehow, the stone was so powerful that it brought down a whole giant. Because as the effort he put in, as the stone was traveling, another power was added. Same multiplication of power. It's like you sow one seed and you are harvesting a whole acre. I declare upon everybody here that from today, you will not struggle in vain. You will not labor in vain. Every little thing you do, your output will be enormous. Receive it with a shout. Every little thing you do, your profit will increase. You are receiving the blessing of multiplication. You are receiving the blessings of multiplication. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. In Genesis 22, the verse number 17, the Bible says that blessings, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. So, oh Abraham, today you have no child, but saith the Lord, I am about to bless you and I'm about to help you. And for me to help you, I will engage my manifestation of multiplication. I will multiply your seed so that you will have more children like the seashore. I declare upon you that from today, any small thing you will do, it will increase in your hands. You will carry pure water on your head before you realize you are managing a pure water factory. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. You may be teaching in a school, but before you realize you are employing people in your own school. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. You may be working from your house. You may be operating from your house because you don't have any office. But when the grace of multiplication comes upon you, you will build your own company and you will have branches all over the world. Receive multiplication. Receive multiplication. The Bible said, for he called Abraham alone and he multiplied him. He called Abraham alone and he multiplied him. When God called me, when I was in the university, I came back to Accra alone. I didn't come with a team. I came alone. But today, the Lord has multiplied us. I hear what I'm saying. None of you was there. But today, the Lord has multiplied us. And so I know what I'm talking about. No matter the small thing, everybody open your two hands like that. Say, this is my hands. You are not prophesying. It looks like you don't believe what I'm doing tonight. Say, this is my hands. It's receiving the grace for multiplication. Say, this my hands is receiving the grace for increase. Say, whatever touches my hand will increase. Say, whatever comes into my hands will multiply. Say, whatever I do with my hands will multiply, will increase, will enlarge. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say, you my hands, receive the grace of multiplication. Receive the grace of increase. So from today, nothing will get finished in my hands. Say, nothing will die in my hands. Say, nothing will be messed up in my hands. Say life and increase is in my hands. Money will grow in my hands. Money will grow in my hands. Business will do well in my hands. Career will rise in my hands. The lives of people will do well in my hands. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Rabata Kaba. Second Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. In the same grace of multiplication, when God wants to help a man, it doesn't make him labor. Then you are calculating small. Nah, when God is helping a man, you realize that you just, the people ask you, how did you say, oh, I just did the same thing. I just did the simple thing. But the people think you are working some magic. They think you have discovered something new. But it is just the grace of multiplication. It makes small things increase. It makes things dance well in your hands. And that is what somebody is contacting tonight. I said, that is what somebody is contacting tonight. I said, that is what somebody is contacting tonight. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Is that now, may he who supplies seed to the sower. So God is the one who gives us seed. May God give you seed. Capital for business, receive it. Money to go to school, receive it. Money to learn a trade, receive it. That's what we call seed. It's not money you spend, what you use to do something. He giveth money or seed to the sower and bread for food. And then he supplies and multiplies the seed you have sown. He supplies and multiplies the seed you have sown. He multiplies the what? The seed you have sown. Your effort, your energy, your attempt. See, these are things that you can't see with your eyes. So you see somebody prospering, you don't know what happened. It is God helping the person with multiplication anointing. With multiplication anointing. Put your hand on your head. Say, I receive that anointing. Say, I receive that grace. Say, I receive that anointing. Multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So when God is multiplying you, he enlarges your steps. That is speed. When God is multiplying you, when you throw one step, it's as if you have thrown five steps. When God is multiplying you, that is what we call speed. Have you ever watched boat running before? Same boat running before. It doesn't have a lot of steps. When he's winning, he doesn't win with a lot of steps. He wins with what we call sprint. Say sprint. Sprint. The stretch. When he stretches one, it is another at least three. Like three steps. Back, back, back. You see, to make you understand, imagine you are walking with your child. When you throw one leg, the distance you cover, your child has to throw like three. True or not true? Now that is it. When we say same boat is winning with sprint, when he stretches his leg, it is like another at least five steps. So same boat never wins a race with a lot of steps. So when you watch him, he's like that. Like that. And it's as if he's jumping. Have you watched him run before? It's as if he's jumping like that. Whereas somebody's running, he's jumping, he's leaping. Tell somebody, from tonight, you are going to sprint. I said you are going to sprint. Supernatural speed. Supernatural sprint. When you take one step, it will be the steps of others. It will be like five steps of others. When you take one step, it will be like 10 steps of others. When you take one step, it will be like 20 steps of others. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Psalm 18, verse 36 and 37. He said, for thou hast enlarged my steps under me. You have given me sprint. You have enlarged my steps under me. You have given me sprint. You have enlarged my steps under me. It is God that can give you sprint. It is God that will make you do one thing, then all of a sudden it has become big and you didn't really struggle for it. It's called, the Lord has enlarged my steps under me. Let touch your two hands, your two legs. Say, Father, please enlarge my steps under me. Give me supernatural speed. Say, give me supernatural speed. Enlarge my steps under me. Enlarge my steps under me. Enlarge my steps.
Clap your two hands for that. Enlarge my steps under me, that my feet will never slip. Imagine an athlete who is running and then he has fallen down. By the time you wake, you rise up, they are gone. It's like light, it's like speed of light. They are gone already. There's no way you rise up to come and win at all. Then unless it's a Chinese spoon, well, you can rise up and you wait. But in real life, you cannot go 100 meters and you fall, you rise up to win. What are you talking about? It won't happen. And David said that the reason why as a young man he has done well is because God gave him strength. God gave him enlargement of steps, speed. And God did not make him fall. God did not make him fall. You will not fall. I said, you will not make a mistake that will take you 5 years backwards. You will not make a mistake that will delay you 5 years. Are you hearing me?
Ah, yeah, yeah. Ah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Joel chapter 2 verse 22. When God is giving you multiplication anointing, what it means is that he's restoring your wasted years. He's making you get in 1 year what you should have gotten in 10. He's redeeming your years. He said, so I will restore the wasted years. So God can restore things you have lost, and it can also restore time. Yes. So if 5 years you have been jobless, God can restore it. That's why when you land the job, the money they start paying you, when you put it together in a year, it will be like when you were working for 15 years. That is what restoration of years. That is why you have looked for a child for so many years and you have not found, you've not gotten a child. And the day you got pregnant when you were around 45, you go to give birth and you have quadruplet. Four straight. Or quintuplet. Five straight. It's a restoration of years. That means that if it took your friends 2 years, 2 years interval, now maybe they are born and of their mouth once. Say restoration. Say restoration. Say restoration. Some of you have been waiting for a husband for some years now. But I prophesy a restoration anointing. That the husband God will give you, it will be like a multiplication of the years your friends have been married and the years your enemies have been married. Because the person can do for you 10 times what your friends did not get in their long years of marriage. Shout, I am the one. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Number 9. When God is helping a man, he helps you by the ministry of angels. Say the ministry of angels. You are not, say the ministry of angels. It is a manifestation of the help of God. There are times that God will not give you divine wisdom to solve the problem. There are times that God will not bring intervention. There are times that God will not direct you out of situation. There are times that God will send you an angel. And I pray tonight that may God send you an angel. Anybody who has a sticker in front of your house, who has a sticker of the church on your door, in your shop, I direct the angels of this church to your house. The angels of favor, the angels of blessing, the angels of increase, the angels of multiplication. I direct the angels of rescue. Locate them now. Locate them now. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. When God is helping a man, he gives him the ministry of angels. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13 and 14. The Bible says that they are ministering spirits. Ministering spirits. Ministering spirits. Ministering spirits that have been sent forth to minister to us who will inherit salvation. Angels are ministering spirits. They have been sent to minister to us. Hallelujah. to minister means to help. They have been sent to help us. Tell somebody by you, an angel is supposed to help you in life. That is why the Bible says that do not treat a child in a very bad manner. Otherwise, their angels will testify before God against you. They are angels. You see them little like that. They can't fight for themselves. But if you treat them with evil, they are angels. They may not talk. They can't talk. They can't report you because they can't say one or two or three. Some of you who are nannies and maids and caretakers of other people's children. He said they are angels who speak against you before God's presence. Because you see, everybody who is born is given an angel. Everybody is given a helper. But the problem is that sometimes your helper cannot find you. Sometimes there is a disconnect between you and your helper. It's like the helper that God gave Daniel, bringing an answer to Daniel, and the helper could not help Daniel because the battle was bigger than the helper. There was a disconnection between the helper and Daniel. So another helper needed to come and help the helper. Tonight, may God help your helper to help you. May God help your helper to help you. May God help your helper to help you. Because Daniel's helper in Daniel chapter 10 was arrested and kept in prison. Woe unto you if the one who must help you is in need of help. It's a tragedy of life when your helper failed. Because you see, in life, there's something we call destiny interconnectivity. Everybody say it. Say destiny interconnectivity. That means that my destiny is connected to your destiny. And your destiny is connected to his destiny. And his destiny is connected to that person's destiny. So if I succeed, I'll be able to take you to a certain school. And because of the school you went, you'll be able to meet a certain man. Because of the man you met, you'll be able to marry you. Or be able to also help you together. It's a connection. But when I fail, it means that I cannot take you to that school. I'll change your school. That means that your destiny line has been thwarted, changed. May God help your helper to help you. Say, Father, release help upon my helper in order to help me. May my helper not fail his assignment in order to help me. In the name of Jesus, pray 1 minute right now. Imagine the one who must marry you has had an accident and is now a cripple. Imagine the one who must employ you and now the company has collapsed. Imagine the one who must help you to travel dies at the airport. Imagine the one who must assist you now looking for help. God help my helper. God help my helper. God help my helper. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Say, God, help my helper. Oh, say, help my helper. Say, help my helper. And make this your prayer. Eh? Make it your prayer. Add it to the prayers for tomorrow. Help my helper to locate me. When we rise up to pray, we'll pray it again. You'll pray with all your heart. Because if that person doesn't appear, you'll be waiting. You'll be waiting. Because God has connected you to the person. If that person fails, you are in trouble. You must wait for another deliverer to be born. You must wait for another deliverer to be born. And that is what? That is trouble. Israel could have been saved 40 years ago. If not that, Moses made a mistake. But because Moses made a mistake to murder, that shall not murder. And yet Moses murdered. He had to run for his life. So the children of Israel had to stay in captivity for the next 40 years. May your helper not make a mistake. May your helper not impregnate somebody before the time. But when that happens, he can't even have a clear mind to come and marry you because he is in trouble. He's in trouble. The devil knows how he set people up. He can set you up. He knows the one who is coming to help you. He can set you up. He can set the person up for destruction.
And not because of the person, but just because of the assignment. Look at how Jesus was the helper of the madman of Gadarene. And Jesus was trying to go and save that man. Look at what Jesus went through. Bible says that a strong tempest. The ship was capsizing. They were almost dying. The disciples were crying, "Don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we perish?" Just because of one madman who had to be helped. If not that Jesus rose up with all his divine attributes to stop that wind, that madman would have been mad to the end. Every demon that will attack your helpers, every demon that will attack your helpers, may God fight that battle. I said, may God fight that battle. Some of you, your helpers are going through spiritual attacks. The day they decided to help you, look at how life has become difficult for them. They are going through. There are people, the moment they decide to marry you, they will lose their job. Last year, a certain lady whose sister is in this church told me that, listen, in our family, nobody marries. But I've realized that everybody that comes to your church that I know, they are getting married. So I beg you, pray for me. After the wedding, she came to my office and told me, I beg you, pray for me. I have a beloved who wants to marry me. I'm afraid because in my house, nobody marries. Pray for me. I beg you, be praying for me. Then I promised I'll pray for her. I didn't pray though. So I just said, oh, I'll pray for you. Then she went. Then some months after, she called me with tears. They fixed their date for, I think the sister married with her in April or something. They fixed their wedding in August. In July, the guy was sacked from his work. And not just sacked. It was a financial institution. So the guy was sacked and he had to pay. It was exchange of money. It's a forex bureau. So he has to begin to sell things. Empty his account. Just because he decided to marry a certain sister in August. Bow down your seat. Help my helper. Help my helper. As I'm talking to you now, 1 year has passed. We are almost going to 1 year. There is no sight of marriage anymore. It has been squashed. Don't joke with things, though. A certain woman drank poison and was rushed to Kolebu. She wants to kill herself. And the doctors mandated to save her. It was my wife who told me this story. The doctors and the health workers, which my wife was part, they struggled and they saved this woman at the emergency ward. And when they saved her, later when she started, she calmed down and she regained. She told her story. She said, I want to die. Leave me. I just want to die. Why? Because this is the fourth man. Say the fourth man. She would date the man. When they are almost about to marry, the man will start having dreams. That she, the woman, is chasing him with a knife. Now, will you marry such kakla, you? Will you marry such a knife wife? You are supposed to marry a wife, not a knife. And now this one you are going to marry is not a wife but a knife. No matter how you love such a lady, you will not look at that. You come out of a terrific dream. When you are about to marry. Now, what decision will you make? I'm sure you come and see your pastor. He said, Bishop, let's talk about this issue. I know this lady is a very fine lady in the church, and I really wanted to share. I've actually made every plans, but you see, Bishop, we have to be very careful about certain things. Say, help my helper. If your helper is having such a dream about you, somebody wants to employ you, and all the dream he keeps seeing is evil. I was there some years ago. One guy that I take care of to school, I had a dream that the guy has grown up and the guy has rebelled and was like, he and his brother, they were all in the church that I used to help. They have grown up and they have become somewhere and they were fighting me back. I had that dream. When I woke up from the dream, I asked myself, hey, if this is the kind of dream I have about this my favorite boy, how will I help him? So I told myself that it's an attack from the devil. so that I will not help the guy. I was able to discern it too. But if I were to be a natural man, because I said, no, how will God reveal such a thing to me? This is not God. I was able to discern that this is not from God, it's from the devil. But you can't discern between good and evil. So you don't even know the dream that came from God and the one that came from the devil. And I said, in the name of Jesus, that loss never appeared. Since then, I've not had that dream again. But I would have just said, we shall see. We shall see. Then I'll stop helping him. I took care of him from JHS through secondary school. Went to any tertiary institution he wanted to go. Came back. I'm still taking care of him till today. I would have stopped helping the guy so many years ago. But I stopped. You don't know what. You see, somebody decided to employ you. The person goes to sleep. All of a sudden, his mind has changed. When you were with the person said, oh Charlie, you are best for the job. Because I've met everybody and everybody like you have everything I'm looking for. As a matter of fact, when do you want to start? Then you go home. Then when you go home, something happened. Say, help my helper. Say, help my helper. Do you understand how life works? Help my helper. That's what people don't understand, that your helper himself needs help. A lot of you that are burning with fire, if I had failed, you will not be anywhere close to altar to even hold the microphone and say, praise God. Say, help my helper. Help my helper. Some of you, the only reason why you stand on TV one day, to stand on TV and be ministering on TV one day, is because you are connected to maybe me. Yeah. I'm not talking to everybody, but I said somebody. You may never know. Just as you never knew you would be doing what you are doing today, if not for me. So there's a helper. But if I tell you the battles I have to sustain and the injuries I've sustained, in order for me to be able to be who I am to help you, you will keep praying that, Lord, help my helper. Lord, help my helper. Lord, help my helper. Lord, help my helper. May my helper not backslide. May my helper not fall into sin. May my helper not be destroyed. May he not die before his time. Help my helper. Help my employer. Help my husband. Help my wife. Help my helper. You will be help my helper. The angel said, since the time you started praying, your answer was released. Your marriage was released. But as I was coming, a bigger authority seized the blessing from me. And I could not come. He said, but when you continued and you didn't stop, God decided to help me, the angel, by sending another angel. Say, a helper for my helper. A helper for my helper. But every helper needs help. That's why people normally tell you, okay, unim, may change the kabienim. That means every baby. Do you get it? So if the person doesn't secure that help, he has no choice than to disappoint you. Help my helper. Help my helper. Other people promise me before, then it looks like they themselves, their green card is not secure. Help my helper. My helper. The day they promise you, their business start going down. Things start changing. Oh, metal car, I'm out. Then things start changing. Now they go, they don't make money. How would they help you? Just because they promised you. The attack is because of you. I tell people that anything your pastor goes through is because of you, the members. When I finish my ministry and I go like that, do you know the attacks I get? Because of different demons. You are even tired of the demon following you. You are tired of the one following you. You are tired of the one following you. Now all of you have made one mind and you have all brought it here. And you said, me, I should fight yours. Fight your. Is it fair? Is it fair? But why didn't you sit at home with it? You have brought it here. You said, me, I should come and fight A, fight B. The day I don't pray for you, you said, daddy, of later, mom, pie, mom. You want me to carry? You can't carry yours. You want me to carry the whole church. Every demon. You see why pastors suffer? Do you see why things can happen to pastors? Because they are carrying the yokes of many people. That's why you must always pray for your pastor. Help my helper. Help my helper. When God, sit down. Let me close. When God wants to help you, he gives you what? Angels. He gives you angels. Daniel prayed and God gave him angels. Daniel chapter 10 verse 12 and 13. And then like I've explained to you. And then Daniel chapter 6, 21 to 22. God gave Daniel angel to shut the mouth of lions. An angel will appear to you and shut the mouth of that problem in your life. An angel rescued Peter from prison before Herod could kill him. Acts chapter 12, 5 to 12. An angel opened the eyes of Haggai and showed them where to find water in order to save Ishmael from dying. An angel opened the eyes of Haggai. Said, this is where water is. Drink it. Don't let your baby die. An angel will open your eyes and tell you, go and apply in this office. Go to this workplace. An angel will open your eyes and tell you, this is your wife. An angel will open your eyes and tell you, that's your husband. An angel will open your eyes and tell you, talk to this man, he can help you. Talk to that woman, she can help you. Your angel will help you. An angel opened her eyes. Genesis chapter 21, 17 to 19. An angel directed Cornelius to Peter for the salvation of his entire household. Acts chapter 10, 3 to 7. An angel, two angels rescue Lot and his daughters from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Two angels. Genesis 19, verse 15. They held the hands of Lot and they dragged them out. That's the only reason why Lot survived. Because of the help of angels. Anywhere you are delaying, may angels grab your hands. Your amen can be better. Anywhere you are delaying, may angels grab your hands. The Lord, I'm delaying this school. One school that I'm going, remedial, 3 years. You are delaying. Lord, hold my hands. I'm delaying in marriage. Let angels hold my hands for speed. Then an angel directed. That's in Genesis 19, 15, all the way to 16. Then an angel directed Joseph to leave town for the safety of baby Jesus. An angel directed Joseph to take the child and go away. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. For Herod wants to kill the child. An angel can help you for protection. Now the final thing before we pray, the final thing is that when God wants to help you, he gives you the ministry of men. The ministry of men. He gives you human beings to help you. Not just angels. Human beings. There is nothing that God will do for you that he will throw from the sky. Everything that God will do for you, he will pass it through human beings. So when God wants to help a man, he gives him the gifts of men. Men are gifts given to men for help. Ephesians 4 verse 8. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Then verse 11. To some he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Gifts unto men. So men are gifts unto men. Tell somebody, men are gifts unto men. For a lot of you that are gathered here, I am your gift. I'm the gift God gave you. He gave you an apostle. He gave you a teacher. I can teach you. Then you start doing certain things. And your life is changing. He gave you a gift. For some of you, I am your evangelist. He preached through me and led you to evangelize. And that is why you are saved. For I'm a gift to some of you. God will give you a gift of a man that will marry you. It's a gift. A woman that will marry you is a gift. A man that will help you travel out of the country is a gift. Now that when God wants to help you, he gives you the gifts of a man. He will dash you human beings. God has brought me this far because of the gifts of men that he gave me. He gave me the gifts of Pastor Cole. He gave me the gifts of Pastor Enoch. He gave me the gifts of Pastor Jonathan. He gave me the gifts of Pastor Collins. He gave me the gifts of all the men of God. He gave me the gifts. You are a gift to me. You are a gift to me. That's why we come for evening service. You think everywhere you go to evening service, you see instrumentalists. What do you mean? It's not everywhere you go evening service. 40 days, every day we have instrumentalists. It doesn't happen. But it is because God has given this church the gift of men. They are gifts. Tell somebody they are gifts. Tell the one by you are my own gift. You are my gift. Tell him you are my gift. Tell your wife now. She's telling you have left her. You
You are made lonely.
Tell somebody, you are my gift.
If I didn't meet you, would not have been good at all. You are my gift. Eugene, you are my gift. You are a gift God gave to me. Sabina, you are a gift that God gave to me. Otherwise, this chair would have been empty. There is something only you can do. There is something only you know how to do.
There was a guy in this church. You know, a show here. You guys will be show here. You know, Eugene.
Very, very stubborn. 0% spiritual. Pastor knows about it. He himself knows about it. The whole church knows that this guy is not born again.
And so, when I'm counting the people that are very special to me, he wasn't one. Because, on to me, little prayer. On to me, next human. Chilling, so chilling. The rather he will get me trouble. Sometimes I'll see that he has gathered some of the church boys and they are chilling somewhere, and I'll be angry. I'll say, Charlie, you are trying to support the guys in the church. I don't like that. Then he will come and say, oh, Bishop, sorry. But I never sacked him from the church. Even though there was a time that I was tempted to. I never sacked him from the church. I never stopped him from God. I thought he was corrupting some of the members of the church. Can you imagine that? When we started building, he works at a government center. It is their place that they give permit for building and other things. When we started this men's chrome issue, he's the one who goes with me. When we needed a lawyer, he took me to the whole waiter, senior lawyer who can win our case for us. He took me and said, I'm taking you to a lawyer. He can't speak in tongues. He's a notorious boy. Everybody know. But he knew the way to a lawyer. Pastor Kok could not help me there. Pastor Enoch could not help me there. He held my hands and took me to a lawyer who solved the problem for us with just a twinkle of an eye. The man on the Meshcom land was afraid when he met the lawyer. The lawyer, his name is lawyer E.K. Kutu Echampon. He's a descendant of that great Kutu Echampon. A family of lawyers. When he saw the man, he started shaking. He said, we'll give you 100 million, pack it, this and leave. In 1 week, the man ran away. Because he knew that this lawyer, he will win. But the lawyer came from the gift of an unspiritual member. Tell somebody, everybody is important. Everybody. Hey, it was from that day. I told you. So I'm not saying it because I'm preaching. No. It was that day wisdom came to me that Prince, everybody around you is important. It says that the time for their relevance has not yet come. That's why you see them as useless around you. And from that, every meeting I go to his part. Meeting his part. He can't speak in tongues. By the time he will come, I'll say, he has cut his hair. He has done this. He has done that. But what is with me? I know I'll win something. He will just pick me, send me to an office. And the document of the land, they'll just do it. Why? Because of the guy. People want to come and stop the building project. Once I call him, he'll just pick a phone. Oh, that's my church. Oh, that's my pastor, Charlie Sean. Otherwise, I'll not pay your salary. Immediately, they all move their car. They all leave. Pastor Kok could not do it for me. My trusted assistant. He was not useful in that realm. I learned wisdom. That, hey, don't select your children. Oh. Today, Abia, we only need science, we need maths. But there is something he will be useful. There's something. I learned wisdom. That everybody, this one is not preaching. Will you go to the municipal assembly and go and preach? Ah. We are looking for people who sign something that they are afraid of. Hey, not preacher. And God gave me all these people in the church. Some are bad boys. I like them. Some are good. I like them. Some are notorious. I like them. Because there is something that they can do. When the Adunma people came to collect our things, the pastors couldn't fight them. The pastors, they couldn't. It was the notorious boys. The guys from the hood that I got born again, who have not, they are not 100% born again. They are still... They stood at the gate and helped them. And I was in my office. I crossed my leg like that.
They are the kings of men. They are the kings of men.
And the people ran with all their pepper and their weapons. And they went to report us at the headquarters. That's why they summoned us. That's where I should come and pay 100 million. And God gave me the gift of another man. She was a fetish priestess. God gave me a fetish priestess. Have you seen a fetish priestess fighting for a pastor before? Say it is crazy. God gave me even a priestess, the whole Accra. They put her into a taxi, went to the traditional palace, the highest, took my case. Rescue. They were coming to close down this church. Took my case and tore the form. She came to me. She said that, be careful. Somebody around you. She mentioned the person. Said she reported you. Look for a land and go. That's how come we started looking for a land.
So when God is fighting for you, he will give you men. Some of them will not come as angels. They will not come as saints. They will come as fetish priestess. They will come as thieves or as notorious people. Or as fornicators. Whatever you may think.
I receive all of them. Receive a helper. Receive a helper. Receive a helper. Receive a helper. They are helpers. They are helpers.
Clap your two hands. Rise up to your feet.
They are helpers. Mese nyame be boa o. Obenam wo mo omunjin di so obeboa. When God told Joseph that Joseph was going to become a leader, did God tell Joseph that you are going to sit on the throne of an unbeliever? God didn't tell Joseph. Joseph thought that God was going to start a whole kingdom with him. But God was actually going to give him the throne of Pharaoh. So actually, Joseph, the holy man, had to sit on Pharaoh's throne that has received blood, 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 shrine, shrine. That's the throne that Joseph sat on. But it was still God that helped him. I'm telling you a mystery. Say the gift of men. Lift up your two hands.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.